quack, 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 quack,
welcome to D5, the Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss 1996 Disney Hockey sequel, Season 3, the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and I have a full house here to do this these minutes. And let's go around and introduce everybody. First of all, our all-star guest of the week from the Next Team podcast, Sean Gurman. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Blake. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. From returning from Season 1, from 5 minutes of mystery, Dave Palace. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back here in Eden Hall.
And also returning from Season 1, missed it last season due to the birth of his son. So here he is, one of my closest friends, Scotty Fellow. Scotty, welcome back to the show.
Appreciate it. Glad to be back. It was a long hiatus, but here we are.
No problem. So let's actually ask, go around here real fast and ask your thoughts on this movie in general. Sean, I'll start with you as the person that's been on for all three seasons. Go for it.
You know, this one, this may not be the most popular or the most common opinion. This is my favorite. I think this is the best of the three. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know if it's related or not. I just saw this recently, a couple weeks ago. I somehow missed it the first time around when it first released. So, you know, watching it just for the podcast and it's really exciting, and it's certainly a different movie than the first two. Just much different, less hockey, I think, is something we notice. But you get into, you know, more character growth. You get into more character stuff. So I really liked it.
Yeah, that's good to know. Scotty, your thoughts on this movie?
I mean, plotline, I thought it was good. It particularly wasn't my favorite movie, maybe based on the fact that there wasn't much hockey involved, or, you know, just not having Emilio Estevez involved. That's a little bit of a downgrade for me too. Nothing against, you know, the current coach, but I mean, Gordon Bombay, he was the Mighty Ducks to me. So
especially because he's the first name in the credits and barely in this movie.
So right.
And Dave, you messaged me after seeing the movie, and he said he has some thoughts. So that's why I saved you for last for introductions here. So, Dave, your thoughts on this movie?
All right, this part I'll be brief. This is we're just still an introduction. We're still just putting our toes in the water. This movie, it's better than I remember, because I think the last time I probably watched it was a kid. So I was probably younger than the cast probably at this time. So watching it from an adult's perspective, I was like, all right, I enjoy it more. Yeah, it's probably not as fun as the first two, because we don't have as much, we don't have any Bombay. And I think the short answer is, I tell you the same thing I told Travis about Turtles, Teenage Mutant Turtles 3. This movie wouldn't be as bad as if they made a fourth one.
Okay.
Like, if they made a fourth live-action Turtles movie, the wonkiness of them going back to feudal Japan wouldn't have been as bad to end the live-action of the trilogy on. With this one, it's like, if we had another movie and we learned more about the relationship with Coach Ryan and what they do at Eden Hall, then I think this movie wouldn't feel so weird. Because it's like, I feel like we end on a very weird note. I kind of wanted to see them get a little bit older, get a little bit more in tune with the school, and have at least one more adventure, and then I think we'd be okay with the fact that, like, Bombay's not around anymore, but our main kid cast is they're thriving and they're doing well, like going into young adult lives. I think that's the shortest way to look at it. But yeah, I just felt like this movie kind of felt unnecessarily emotional manipulating. I felt like I could tell you're trying to get me to pull this emotion, and then you're like, aha, now we pull this emotion, pull that emotion. And I know it's a movie, it's supposed to do that, but it felt like I could see it. I could see the strings of the puppeting.
Would you have been up for maybe like doing a senior year? Maybe come back for like senior year as varsity, that kind of thing.
Okay. I mean, let's go into it. The movie starts off and they're going, and I thought this was a college. When I was a kid, I thought this was college because like, oh wow, this place looks nice. Oh, it's just a really fancy prep high school and they're just freshmen. And I don't want to step on the same things I'm sure your previous guests have said about how like, you know, oh, this team, this is the team coming in, and that one younger brother wasn't going to come in. I've been like, why not put him in the cast? That could have been conflict rather than cut him out, because it's like, okay, if you kick all these kids out of their scholarships, well, then what are you going to do with that kid? Like, you can't have a junior varsity team, and he might be too young for a varsity team. Very, like I said, it made you ask a lot of questions. He's like, yeah, just throw this younger brother they kept referring to, the bully. And also what makes it laugh is that their antagonists are like the seniors of the school. Like, they still have to see each other after this game. And it's so weird that like, it's not like they're playing another country. They're not playing in the Olympics.
Or which another school. Or another school.
It's like their own beef in-house. It's so odd that like, yeah, I think a fourth one where you get to really, I don't know, get into the Harry Potter school of like other schools and other rivalries and stuff, I think would have been better rather than just in-house stuff. Cause like these guys are like like, you guys are seniors. Like, you're going to go off and you're going to do other things and you're not going to care about this anymore. Like, that's how petty you guys looked at me as I watched this film.
That's a good point, actually. I didn't think about it that way. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely 100% right.
Yeah, and there's times where I kind of was like, I wish this movie was a little longer, A, so we get more hockey in, but B, it felt like, I don't know, I felt like a lot of times they were just like, beginning of the movie, we need you to be upset with, I mean, obviously, a lot of POV is, I keep saying Pacey, but Joshua Jackson's character.
Charlie.
It's his, because every emotion I had was clearly the same emotion Charlie was having in every scene. They wanted me to, Charlie's right. Mad at Bombay. You're betraying us. You're dumping us here.
Right.
And then like, you don't trust Orion for Coach Ryan for a long time. And it's not until like Bombay comes back and goes, oh yeah, by the way, his kid's like paralyzed. And he came and you're like, I feel like now you're manipulating me the other way around. Now it's just like, I didn't know this. He doesn't act like this. He doesn't act like, oh, he's a good father. He acts like a complete, like, I mean, like, it's hard because I get it. They're goofing around when they first meet him on the ice. But at the same time, I'm like, that would be a good icebreaker, though. Like, hey, we're all kind of goofing off. Let's kind of get, like, he just comes on very, very literally cold and hard. And he keeps saying how the Ducks are dead. And then at the end, he gives them their jerseys back. And it just felt like, it felt like a third of this film, they're trying to tell like a serious adult story about growing up. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be hard for the audience to like, because we're changing a lot. We're not having Ducks. We're not having them be Ducks in this movie. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, well, as I see it as an adult, all right, they're growing up. They're getting older. They learn maturity and moving on. And then it's like, and then we can hit him like the second part where it's like, he's having a crisis of like young adult life where he's like, do I want to go to school? The older Norwegian guy, he passes. He's kind of Hans. In a free fall.
Yeah.
Was it Hans? Is it
Hans? Yeah.
It's like, so he's in a free fall. And then, yeah. And then he learns that like, oh yeah, your coach, like, yeah, he's a pro, but his daughter got crippled and he wants to be near his family. You're like, okay, well, I get that. And then the end, they're like, okay, now people are kind of on board with Ryan. Let's make Ryan like, okay, he's cool. Now he's like cool with it. Like that bus scene. Now he seems to be like really cool with the kids. And I'm like, I never got that vibe before. And now he's like, we got to fight the school. Like, okay, now you're against the school. Cause he felt like a lackey in the first third of this film. Now he's like on the kids team. And then they get Bombay, which I like Bombay doing lawyer stuff. Cause we haven't really seen, I don't think it was, did Did we actually see him lawyering?
It's the first time we started at the beginning of the first movie.
Okay, yeah, because I'm like, yeah, we haven't seen much of. I don't remember, like, as a kid, I'm like, I don't remember him any courtroom scenes. I felt I was the closest to, like.
Well, it's a hockey movie, Dave. It's
hockey. Yeah, it's, and that.
And you think that if you want to see courtroom scenes, literally the first 15 minutes of the first movie is the court. Like 5 minutes of that movie.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's true, it's true, it's true.
You know, that there wasn't enough hockey in The Devil's Advocate. That's what I
always say. Yeah, I like that. But yeah, and then he gives their jerseys back, and now it's like the Giovarzi is officially called the Ducks.
Apparently.
So like I said, I feel it's very manipulated at the end, and I'm just like, this movie needs to be longer so these beats feel less weird. They don't feel like and then a new vibe, a new feeling in these scenes. It feels very rough.
Scotty, what do you think? Are you up there silent during the tolling?
No, I mean, I do agree. It's just kind of weird points in the movie where they're trying to direct you how to feel. And it's like, you know, after they kiss and make up, it's like, okay, now you get your jerseys back. Like, what was the point of that? Were you trying to teach a lesson? Be like, you know, you need to become a team first before you can wear these jerseys again. Like, I don't know if that was like his, you know, message, like trying to be on the same page. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say, but.
Yeah, it's a good point. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, on the one hand, that was kind of artificial. Like, oh, well, you know, it's the what's the school mascot? It's the Warriors, you know, so yeah, why are they pulling out the Ducks? On the other hand, I thought it was kind of a nice callback because they did that in the second one, you know, where they weren't, you know, they were the national junior team or whatever, you know, they weren't the Ducks, but it's, you know, the third period, we're going to come out, we're going to have the Ducks jersey, we're going to everybody quacking. So yeah, in, you know, it doesn't make sense, but it's, you know, it's a movie. It's not real life. So, you know, in a movie as a callback to the previous movie, I kind of liked it. I went with it. And it's nice, you know, seeing them skate, you know, seeing the Ducks jerseys on the ice, you know, the kids skating. And I thought, you know, we got, you know, this segment that we were at least nominally talking about, the little bit of hockey we got from the film. I think the skating's much better, which makes sense. Like the kids are getting older, their skills are gonna, you know, getting better. I thought hockey scenes we, you know, what hockey we got was good. And I like seeing the Duck jersey. I like that bit.
By the way, so I went back to my notes from last season because I was curious. Because this movie in this game literally is this week, the next three episodes is this game. That's pretty much what it is. The next episode. Last season, I remember making a joke that the final game went on forever. The last game, last season, the final game went on for 5.5 shows. So that was over almost 30 minutes of the movie was the ice cream game, last movie. This is literally like maybe 15 minutes tops.
There was a shootout, right?
Yeah, but like it went on. I have the time codes in front of me. It went from an hour 15 all the way until the end of the movie at like an hour 45. That's the one hockey game was last season. So it's compared to this season where we got like maybe 15 minutes.
All right.
In comparison for the final game. So yeah, I can see your point. You know, I totally see the point. There's not a lot of hockey going on here. But yeah, the hockey though is good here.
Like not a, hockey, really good hockey. Yeah, a lot of emotional manipulation. Because like, I mean, you're gonna talk about it later, but they bring in the Bash Brother guy. You're like, I didn't think you were gonna be in this movie. I was mentally stealing myself. They're like, I guess like that's part of growing up. You just some of your Bash Brother sometimes just doesn't come back, and that's just life. And you know, you just got to eat it. And he's like, "I'll back." I'm like, "Yeah, what is with this movie?" Like, it definitely feels like there's like the writers were like writing this like adult story about just like having to eat shit in your adult life, and how this is going. And you're like, "Wow, the kids are gonna have a real character." Yeah. And then someone keeps going, like, "Jesus Christ, no one's gonna want to watch. It's a family film. You gotta give him the Ducks jersey. You gotta bring back the Bash Brother. You gotta bring back Bombay. You gotta bring a little bit back." Like,
I think the only real change is like Goldberg not playing defense. That's the only real change.
Yeah. I feel like it's great. We got a good amount of like Kat and Goldberg, like and then the learning of defense. I'm like, I like that scene. And you know, Charlie's like earning his captain's badge, which I love how like they just didn't have a captain on the team.
By the way,
they didn't have a captain.
Okay, that has been bugging me all movie. This has been bugging me all movie. Charlie, was never officially captain in the first two movies. Never officially captain. But they made this big deal, this whole group, and then he was captain.
Well, and apparently, so Orion just carries around a C in his pocket with like Velcro or something. You could just slap it on his jersey in the middle of the game.
It captain now. It came from Hans's drawer of C's from earlier in the film.
Yeah. They ransacked Hans's house after he died. Oh,
by the way, that was like, I love the Hans drawn C's. Like, there's no reason for that to be there except in the joke of throwing C's at Charlie. There's no reason for that drawer to be there.
I don't know. I was like, maybe he tailors jerseys. Maybe he repairs them. I was like, I don't freaking know. Like, he's got this little house where he just, you know, he shines skates. So I was like, maybe he does tailoring. I'll do your tailoring and I'll shop in your skates. And I'm like, all right, great. It's a one-stop shop for all my hockey accessories. I don't have to go to motels at all. I just go to see Hans. He gets me fitted for my uniform. He tightens my buckles of my armor. Oh, he's so great.
That's amazing. Fantastic. The other good thing here I do enjoy is the fact that they're being more of a team now. They're actually being a team. They're checking on each other and making sure everyone's okay. Like, they're actually doing good, like, teamwork.
Yeah.
Which I do like. Scotty, I jumped in here. Any thoughts on where we are and right here in the opening minutes of this?
Yeah, you can definitely tell there's a finally a cohesiveness. It's, you know, as I like to call it in the indoor soccer world, five behind the ball. Well, they're five behind the puck in this situation where, you know, as Ryan says, cleaning out the garbage, like everyone's cheering on each other, just encouraging, trying to figure out, you know, obviously this is a varsity team. They're the big bad team. But I mean, when you play that tight defense, you know, it's going to be hard for them to score. And it's they're as a famous indoor coach once said to me, sweating the details is a kind of a word I like to use where, you know, it's they're on track, you know, they're not losing their focus. Everyone's, you know, playing as a team. And it was just really good to see. So
just so everyone's clear, it is Orion.
Orion, okay.
I just want to clarify. I didn't want to interrupt Dave during his monologue.
I wasn't sure. I was like, is it Orion?
Just wrong. You said it right once. You said it right the first time. Maybe you thought you said it wrong.
I kept second guessing myself.
I didn't want to interrupt me during your monologue. Sean, we're Devils fans, so we know all about Cincy defense.
All about that defense. All about that defense. I love that style of play.
Yeah, we want a cup based on defense like this. Like, we want a cup.
We beat the Ducks.
Yes. We
beat the Ducks, basically. Yeah, 2003 based on defense. So
yes, very, very true.
I like that Goldberg wears Flyers outfits. I like that. That's what I got that going for me.
Yeah, he was from Philly. He is from Philly. That was in canon. So
okay, good.
Cool, though. Like, the first movie is brought up, he was brought up in Philly.
Okay, so. good. I'm glad.
Yeah. So like that, it's a payoff. You know, we've been saying, and you know, throughout the podcast saying, like, not a lot of hockey in the movie, but, you know, we get the training time, and that's where it's at, you know, training, practice, that's where you put in your time. And then the game, you know, you see, does it pay off? And the, you know, it's all tied together. We see how they're playing cohesively. They're playing defensive. They're paying attention to the little stuff, you know, and that keeps them in this final game. You know, all those things that they're working on throughout the movie.
That's very true. Dave, by the way, during your whole thing about Coach Orion jumping in and being like yelling at them for the roping stuff in the interview, but then he comes in the last episode, me and Adam were talking about this in the last episode, how he yells at them for roping, but then he encourages them for shooting trash into goals. Something that happens.
It's very manipulative. And also, like, I mean, I don't know if varsity and junior varsity play each other a lot in high school games. Why one day? It's fine. Either way. But it makes it crazy that, like, the varsity coach is incredibly aggressive. And, like, Ryan should turn him like, dude, stop being a complete ass.
It's very true. It reminds me.
Good. Good. I know. When you get to the end of the film and he's like, oh, good game, Ryan should be, fuck you. He should just be like, fuck you. Like, you're trying to, like, cripple my team.
Yeah.
Like, they're 14-year-old kids, and you had your 18-year-old kids who got, like, 80 pounds of muscle on them to, like, bash them in the boards. And the one kid, the young kid, like, was it Alvin?
Jermaine. Jermaine. I know you're talking about Jermaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he's, it's Jermaine, but Averman. Averman gets
Averman, dated. Averman, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They both, yeah, Jermaine gets his bell wrong. Averman, they get their bell wrong. And it's just like, calm the F down. Like, yeah.
Well, and again, they're all going to the same school. Like, they're supposed to be on the same side. Like, this is just a scrimmage. Like, this doesn't count towards the standings or anything.
Yeah. And that's what kills me. It's just being like, yeah, if they injure, I mean, how could the school could not hold that against the junior varsity team if the varsity team literally beat right. the shit out of them? He'd be like, you didn't play good against the varsity team. We're going to have to cut you. We're not as good as the varsity team, technically. That's the whole
bunch. That's why we're junior varsity.
That's the bit. Like, yeah, we.
That's the bit.
We're going to become it when we, in the fourth move that will happen, we'll become yeah. the varsity team. Exactly. It's very weird. All right. So what were you saying though about Coach Ryan?
Well, what I was going to say was the funny part was it was the Jermaine part when he gets hit and he looks at the coach and he's like, come on, it's hockey.
It's hockey.
Yes. Yeah. And the ref, you're right. They're like, the refs are just like, nah, no penalties here. This
not
is
calling anything. They're not calling anything. It reminds me a lot of the first season. First season, we were all together. You, me, and Sean were together, and you were going off on the first game when we were yelling about like them like, talking like they're in a war, like they're in a war for no reason in the first game.
It was the Karate Kid sweep the leg level stuff where it was just like you gotta punish him. You're like,
he's gonna need a body bag.
Everyone, you were upset with it. It was I'm just doing my job.
I did my job. Oh my god. Put that on my gravestone. I was just doing my job. Yeah.
What did you do?
I remember that. Because you it's were just... expecting that when it happened. That just reminded me.
Yeah. And there's at least half a dozen cross checks that they don't call in this thing. Like sticks to the back. There's boarding. Like this is they play it like it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup. Like there are no whistles anywhere. Like. Until suddenly the last 2 minutes, then suddenly they're blowing everything.
Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense. By the way, I do love a good concussion joke in 2021.
Yeah.
That
did not age well.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that is, great. Yeah, the kid's a freshman by his senior year. He's not going to know his own name. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. The girl who talks to Charlie about like the Warrior Dam. We're like, yeah, now we're in 2021. We're like, yeah. We just call them other names and stuff.
I will admit, though, that storyline was ahead of its time. That whole storyline ahead of its time now. You know?
I honestly wish, like I said, if we bought a few more minutes of the film, I actually would have loved the scene where Charlie and her talk more about it. And I actually would have liked if she did it. I think it would have been cool. Rather than like,
oh, good point.
Somebody good point. Did it. And then she's like, wow, I think it would be cool. If she was like, hey, Charlie, I got you. I did it. And then she like thumbs over. And then we pull the camera and it just shows it down. And Charlie's like, thanks, Maria, whatever her name was.
That's a cool idea. I like that. I like. I want to be Laura, but I'm not remembering her name right tonight for some reason. This is the second episode I've done it. I don't remember her name at all.
Honestly, one person I feel like I kept forgetting was on the team was Luis Mendoza.
Yeah,
like
Mendoza. Yes.
He did the under the table lunchroom and then like trying to mac with the girl and I would forget him for like long periods of time, and I don't know. I just felt like there wasn't enough stuff about like. I don't know, either him breaking or being faster or anything like that. I don't know.
The only time we get anything with him, I think it's in the Blake game where he does crash into the board after scoring a goal.
Okay.
And that's it. Really, there's nothing else. And that's only the other game we have is the Blake game. So that could be why. It's the only other game we have.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do have that joke. So, I do like, by the way, it's Fulton and Goldberg are a defensive duo now. This is so random. It's just like, okay, cool. Apparently that's a thing that happens. I'm not going to lie. I've been watching these minutes right before we came on, right before we started recording tonight. And I really thought that this was the moment where, I think it happened later in the movie, I don't remember, but like this is the moment where Charlie jumped in and makes the save. Then Julie crawled across the crate. I thought this was the moment where Charlie came in and made the save. I don't know why I thought that was this moment, but it's not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's because that's like towards the end of the third period.
Yeah, that's
and
why.
There's a
that's
shot. There's a shot in this segment where they go flash to the scoreboard and the clock's running down, and it says the third period. When I first watched this, I got confused. I'm like, oh, what, the game's over, and then the guy's like, oh, end of the second period. I'm like,
I caught that on the rewatch. Yeah. I didn't even notice it until literally tonight. At the period, it says third period when it's only the second period.
Yeah, I thought the game was over. I'm like, oh, third period, 0-0. All right, nobody loses. Or they go to shootout, whatever. Like, thought the game was over, but
no, they made a mistake. They just made a mistake.
So maybe that's why you mixed it up, because you thought it was the end of the game.
Yeah, I noticed that actually. I didn't put it pretty much since I watched this movie. Tonight was the first time I noticed the scoreboard GIF. I've never noticed that before. Noticed it until tonight. Like, looking at the details tonight. I'm like, wow. I do love after he goes down. He goes down, he's injured. And they go to the shocked parents, the shocked like adults in the crowd, like, oh my god, my kid is hurt. Oh my god, it's a violent sport.
they amp it up. They have that choir playing like during all the hits to heighten like how drama and everyone, you have Charlie's mom yelling, come on. Like
I understand, like, if you're a parent and you're getting into this, but, like, the random adults that probably don't even know these kids at all are reacting. By the way, Linda. Linda is her name.
Linda.
Linda is Charlie. I look it up, and I forgot. Linda. I actually forgot. it's funny seeing, like, the shocked look that people face. I'm like, I understand it was a dirty hit, and it should have been a penalty.
I just saw a cameraman for the movie. Damn it. Just saw it.
Uh-huh.
Right as Averman's getting the boards, you see a guy who looks like George Carlin like this holding the camera. I was like, why is George Carlin? That's a cameraman. Damn it. Yeah, I'll pull the exact moment up. Yeah, but it's right in the middle of him getting bashed on the boards.
That is so funny. I didn't even
You'll see
that.
A guy who looks like George Carlin. He's in he's just in a plaid shirt and he's got clearly he's like got the camera tight, he's holding it.
That is so funny.
Ray's Averman's getting hit on boards.
That is very funny. Oh, man.
But
I hear babies in the background all of a sudden. I hear babies.
not mine. Don't worry.
No, I believe it was the Scotty's house over there. I'm going to keep that. That was funny. That was very funny timing. But
Since probably I spoke, I mean, Disney's referenced that there's going to be a revival TV series.
Plus. The show will be on Disney Plus. It will have come out in March when people hear this.
March 26th, I think.
Yes, it's definitely on my must watch list. By the way, for those listening to this podcast, no, I'm not reviewing the show. I just want to clarify that now. I'm not reviewing the show.
What if it's good, though? What if this is like Cobra Kai level, where you're like, ooh,
I will decide. I know I'm watching it.
Yeah, just
me and my wife have decided that we're watching it together, which I did not expect her. Why do we want to watch this show? Did not expect
She's
it.
Supporting you in your hobbies. That's God bless her. You know, that's
yeah,
that's,
I didn't expect her to say, I want to watch the show with you. So, like, cool.
Like right now you say no, and then you think about it, go, will there be a special episode where you just do the whole season review and see if it's
that's not a bad idea. Idea.
Because you're right, you might not have enough to do episode by episode because they might stretch it, but you might be like, there's what Bombay's doing and here's the new Duck Kids, and
true, that's a good idea, that's
worthy
cool
of a
idea.
Second season, you know, because I'm very
when I was doing No Days and we decided to do a last minute episode talking about Rent Live. There's a last minute episode like, let's do this real fast, we're all together, let's do it on the show, let's do it on the show.
I only saw one trailer, so I didn't know much about it, but it looks like Bombay's working at a rink, so he's not like a lawyer anymore.
Yeah, if you actually, for those, I know people listening to this, the show's already out on Disney Plus, but you can actually go on the D5 Facebook page. I put the full trailer up. The full trailer on the D5 Facebook page. So.
All right, I'll have to watch. I'll watch it again.
It's like a 3-minute trailer. It's really good. It's really, really good.
Okay.
So anyway, we get back earlier. By the way, I did rewind. I did see the guy with the camera.
I'm trying to pull it back up.
I will have to actually isolate that and put that in the graphic for people to see. That's very funny. So, by the way, I'm showing I didn't get to the scoreboard. I just say third period for no reason whatsoever. There is zero point. The funny part is, earlier, it said second period, and then magically it said third period, and then magically it said second period again.
Yeah.
He's going back and forth. It's like people forgot. Like, what period we're in. Like, what's going on? Oh, my gosh. So Scotty, since you've been quiet over there, any thoughts to continue on here?
No, I think we covered it for the most part.
I think we got most of it in here. I just got to the point where he's looking at the other varsity coach saying, it's hockey! It's hockey! What does that mean? By the way, no, here you go, I'll get the scoreboard up. This is 15.7 seconds left, and it says third period of play. Yeah. So obviously, it's the second period. Like, obviously.
Well, I got to think, like, because, like, that's got to be so easy to fix. I could see there's some things that especially an action sequence on the ice, you got the teams and the crowd and everything. And then you're in the editing room and you see, oh, something's not right. And you're like, the action's fast. Maybe people won't notice it. We'll just leave it. But it's just a static shot. Well, not a static shot, but it's just a shot of a scoreboard counting down. Like, like they didn't, I would think if they had noticed that's something they could go back and fix, but I guess they didn't notice.
Actually, I just noticed something. I just press pause. It's right before the minutes are over, right? It's like 56 seconds, right before the minutes are over. And it says end of third period.
Yeah.
Time up. Even though it's still in third period to play. The end of the minute. So dumb. That is a massive issue, but they showed it twice.
Well, they got the cameraman in the shot, too. That's a massive issue. But
oh, my God. Well, the same thing happened in the first movie where they kept, like, changing periods in the final game. In the second movie, they didn't do that because we were actually in the Arrowhead Pond. So they couldn't really, they were having to do with a real scoreboard at any person and everything else in the second movie. I think the same issue happened in the first movie in here, where they weren't paying attention to their continuity at all. So there we go. I do like the fact that Charlie gets the final shot of the period, but like the puck didn't go in. Why is the announcer yelling beat by the buzzer? The puck didn't go in.
Yeah.
The consent for the call. So I don't understand it.
Do you miss any of the ducks that didn't make it to the third film? Do you miss, like, do you wish they would have brought any of the originals in either as a cameo or a what are they doing now, or are they, you know, in the stands?
I would have liked that. Even a cameo, right? This cameo is at the pop up. That would be cool, actually. That would have been really cool, especially now looking at it like, oh, they brought these characters. That would be something they would do nowadays, though.
Yeah.
Fine, you're not in the first movie. We'll come back for later. You'll be in the, you go to the school, though. Like, you randomly go to the school for no reason. You'd happen to be in the crowd.
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe in this show, maybe we'll see, like, Danny Tamborelli or something. Because, you know, he's an old guy now. He's up.
Matter of fact, the only person from the second and third movie was Jesse Hall, Brandon Adams. He was not in this movie, and he was in the first two. That's strange. So he wasn't in this movie. And the funny part is, I didn't even notice that until just now that he wasn't in this movie. You notice?
Yeah. It's a cast in this movie just feels so small. It feels small, and then the one kid gets moved to varsity, so you don't see him for a while. The other Bash Brothers didn't show up till third period in intermission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's for the funsies, but I was really kind of like annoyed by the amount of like the prank war stuff, because I think I wanted more actual character development than just like the prank war stuff.
So I know that's
more fun for the kids.
Exactly. I just popped up I have the Wikipedia page up, and this is probably a little off, but I'm only counting 11 Ducks players. not including Banks and not including Dean Portman.
Wasn't there's like three defensemen and then three goalies? Like,
there were two goaltenders, but it's like there's only 11 people. Like, there's only 11 people on the team.
What's a good number for that? What's a good hockey number on a team?
Scotty, you I know Eric used to work for the Admirals. What is the normal like team? Like 30 players, 29 players?
I want to say they dress 18.
18, so 11 still not enough. That's really not enough.
No. I mean, if you think about it, if you want three lines, you could get away with 15. Couple would have two lines, but no. Well, yeah, you could have, if you want three lines, you could probably have 15 players dressed. Well, yeah. Then you have the two goalies, so.
Well, remember, we only have one goaltender, because Julie's goalie and Goldberg is playing defenseman now. Yeah. So
then if you have 16 players dressed, that's three lines.
Yeah, so technically you have 12 players dressed, 13 by the end of the game. So, like, you're not enough label. Like, I mean, look at it from that perspective. You know? Wow. I never thought about that. You're right. That's a good call. I never realized it. So.
Yeah, it's just one of these things. I just, you know, watching this film, I'm like, man, just the cast just seems really small compared to, like, the last two films. Even with, like, moving cast. Like, did the figure skating girl get replaced by the one of the other characters? Like, that was there another kid who was like a figure skating based?
Kenny Wu got brought in the second movie.
Okay.
He replaced. I can't remember her name for the first movie, but he's in this movie though. He's in this movie.
I had it somewhere. I had a wiki of all the characters. Tammy Duncan, is the sister of Danny Tamborelli's character.
Yeah, the Duncan twins or siblings or whatever they were.
Yeah.
They were the first movie. They did not follow up in the second movie at all. So yeah, that's interesting. That's a good point though. The cameo idea is a great idea though. The cameo idea is great, but they probably weren't thinking about it at the time. And they're probably like, let's just do this movie. Cause I don't know how long we're going to have Josh Jackson before he becomes famous.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of these kids, I mean, he's a lot, you know, kid actors and stuff. And like Danny Tamborelli, he's doing all that. He's doing Pete and Pete. So he didn't need to do this movie. He was getting plenty of paycheck. Because he's doing this. And then Kean Thompson doesn't really join all. Kenan's an original cast member. It's Danny Tamborelli doesn't join to like season three of all that.
Yeah, all that. I love looking at Kenan Thompson's Wikipedia page. They're my favorite things in this movie because it's
as of recording, his Hot Ones just like came out and I was watching it a little bit today. It's great.
Yeah, Kenan Thompson, his first movie was D2. And okay. then they started All Out.
Okay.
All that. And then when All That was going on, this movie came out during the second season of All That. And then at the same time, Keaton and Cal came out.
Yep.
All at the same time. He was doing three massive things at the same time.
Like, yeah. Keaton has a prolific, prolific acting. He's the longest tenured on SNL. And he's got a NBC comedy show with his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
what I like about it is it's like he, funny part is the Kenan Thompson here and the Kenan Thompson now on the show Kenan. It's almost like the same person. It really is the same person. Yeah. He never changes. He has not grown up. It's like Paul Rudd, never ever grew up. Yeah. He's the same person.
He's like mid 40s. He looks great. I mean, like I haven't watched his personal show. This is the Kenan Thompson corner. I haven't watched his new show yet.
I have. It's good.
Honestly, though, what I would really like, though, I think Lorne Michaels should give him the keys. I don't think anyone is more experienced in doing sketch stuff than he is, unless it's a writer or something. But I feel like if he wants, I don't know if Kean wants to take a back seat to acting. But like, I feel like, you know, Lorne at some point is going to retire, and I don't know who he's going to give it to. Like, I don't know if he's going to give it to like Tina Fey or something like an old writer, but. I don't know. I feel like Kenan would be like no one would be. I don't think A would be mad if Kenan took the job.
And Kenan, by the way, the show is actually as people recorded this, the show had just started, and the pilot is not good, but the second episode is very good. One of those things. But like a comedy pilot is never good.
And yeah.
A comedy pilot is never good, but the second episode is good because they got to finally start the story. They got to start the real story in the second episode, and that's good. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, you have to take the risk of the pilot episode. You have to fail. So then you go, okay, what worked? What didn't? Switch that around. And then usually your second episode. Usually by your third episode is, you know, that's what I say. If you watch a show, I say you watch three episodes. You watch the pilot and then the first two episodes that are the recovery from that pilot.
Agreed.
If you still don't like it, I feel like then it's not your bag.
True.
I hate to say, you got to watch the first season to know if you're going to like the show. Like, no, don't put someone through a first season. A show like three episodes, like somewhere between 30 and 40 minutes worth of all that show, and then they'll know.
Or if you do what a lot of people do and just wait for episodes to go up and then binge things, and then all of a sudden you're six episodes into a season. So
I binged a show and I've been like, look, this is just not my bag. And I'm like, I'm gonna go, you know, put on more I Think You Should Leave on Netflix.
You know what's funny with me was that's how I started Cobra Kai. I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm gonna like the show. And all of a sudden I'm like in the middle of the second season, I'm like, oh crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean I had that discussion with Robin and I was like, Cry Kid's not bad. I think I'm gonna watch this Cobra Kai show people were talking about. And then I came back on and recorded with him. And I was like, man, I got theories for season 4. Let's talk theories. He's like, we can't do too many spoilers right now. I was like, ooh.
Wasn't Robin watching along with the podcast? It was really weird.
Yeah, he's watching the podcast. He doesn't want to talk about it. Now he's caught up, but he didn't want to like, and he didn't want to talk about the other movies yet because he's like going to do that later. Like, I just watched the new Karate Kid, and it is bad. It's bad as everyone says it is, but it's like, you still should. Oh, should they bring Hilary Swank in? She's still an acclaimed actress.
I would say bring her in if you can. Yeah, if you can do it, bring her in.
The movie's bad, but it's like, it's Hilary Swank. Like, that, she's still an actor.
I look at it this way. They brought everybody else in. You might as well at least ask.
Yeah. It's like, Hilary, are you doing anything right now? Do you want to do some karate?
It worked in the last season. I mean, you have to show up for a couple of days just to film a few episodes. Yeah. Let's
They got Elizabeth Shue back. So why not?
You have to ask. You can't not ask.
You gotta ask. We'll ask. I'll ask her.
All right. So let's actually, we are done with our minutes and we are now BSing. So I should go to our big question I'm asking every single guest this season.
Yeah.
It is, and this is a fun question. I love this question because I never know what's going to happen with this question. It is craziest or funniest high school stories. It has been fun to do this one. I think there are three of you. It's going to take a bit. I think I'm going to start with Scotty because he's been the quietest of everybody here. So I'll start with him and see if he has anything for us.
Thought about this for a while. So, back in high school, I had a 2002 Pontiac Grand Am. Thought it was a badass because it had leather interior and sunroof. I'm like, all right, you know, this is a cool car. Like, and, I was in the pep band, and our basketball team had just won a huge game, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and it's February, and it's like 60 degrees at night in February. We're like, all right, like, this is cool. Like, we went to the school next door, started playing basketball, and the Wave game is on. So for those who don't know, the Wave is a professional indoor soccer team in Milwaukee who I work for, and they're playing in California. And one of the guys who had never scored a goal before all of a sudden scores a goal. And I hear the announcer or our play-by-play guy yell, you know, Tijani Ayabuse goal. I flipped out and I ran and I jumped on the side of my car. Like, I'm jumping off the boards of a hockey board and put a huge dent the side of my car. Like,
oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God, did that just really happen? I was like, now I'm, like, pissed. I'm, like, trying to, like, push the side of the car together, and this was like on the front, like not on the hood, but like on the side of the hood, like above the tire, like just a huge dent in my foot, and I'm like trying to squeeze it out. I'm like freaking out. I'm like, it's like, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, I'm going home, and I was just like crying on my way home. I was like, why the hell did I do that?
How have I never heard this story? I've never heard this story before.
Because I got into a car accident, and the car, that bumper was actually the one broken, like the side of it, and it actually got replaced. So
nice.
I didn't have to see that anymore, but it cost me $1,000 of hard money earned during the summer. So
hey, well, you know what, at least you didn't have to worry about that, at least.
Yeah.
At least you didn't have your girlfriend at the time drive your car who didn't have a license, and then she crashes it into a sign, and you have to take the blame for it when you tell your parents.
Shit.
It happened with me. So that's the first thing that happened. All right, Sean, go to you.
I don't know really I have anything good. I was led a very boring life in high school, but if we want to, I do have a car story. I have my sister, I think, went away on vacation, like Jamaica or something, some Caribbean island. She goes away. She leaves me my car. I think this was junior year in high school. Like, I had just gotten my license. So she goes, she's like, I'm away for a week. You can have my car. You know, I didn't have my own car. So she leaves me her keys while she's away. The first night she's away, I'm out with my girlfriend. We're driving around. The night's over. I drop my girlfriend off at her house, and I'm like, I finally got freedom. I have a car for a week. I'm just going to drive around. I'm going to tool around the, you know, town for a little bit on my own. And I'm rounding a corner, and I'm going to eject it. I got a tape. I'm playing a tape in the tape deck. I go to eject it. And of course, this is not my car. I've never driven it before. I've probably only driven a half dozen times in my whole life. I'm leaning over, and you can probably see where this is going. I'm leaning over. I'm playing with the tape deck, trying to find the eject button, and I just plow into a parked
car. Oh, shit.
Like, total unforced error. Like,
oh, my God.
Because I'm round the corner, and I forget. Like, you realize it now. If you look, your, like, hands move in the direction you look.
Right.
I didn't realize this at the time because I'm just a kid. I'm a new driver. So when I bend down to go to the tape deck, my hand goes down. I go to the side of the road. I plow into the back of some parked car. I didn't even see it coming. And then I heard that the next day I find out the guy whose car I hit, I don't remember what kind of car it was, but like, this guy loved his car. This was his baby. He just loved this car. And some idiot high school kid just comes through and plows into it because he can't look where he's going.
You know what's funny? That just reminded me. I was my best friend in high school. He was taking a girl down the shore, just to like flirt and go on the shore. And he calls me. He calls me. He's like, "Dude, I got into an accident driving home." I'm like, "What happened?" On the phone, he's at the hospital, calling me. You need a ride. You need to ride. We're in the other. You need to ride. Well, here's what happened. He was distracted, flirting with this girl in the passenger seat, and he was changing. It's the same thing as your situation. He was changing his CD on his CD on his portable Discman player. Switching CDs on the express on the parkway.
Right, on the parkway.
50-something miles an hour, and he wasn't paying attention. And a toll booth came up, and he crashed into the toll booth.
Oh shit! They got that on camera.
And then the airbags come up, and the girl he was with, broke her wrist on the airbag.
Oh,
why they're at the hospital? They didn't date after that.
There was no second date. I can tell you that.
Dave, to you.
I would say the craziest story would probably be my senior year. I was in theater, and senior year we were doing Fiddler on the Roof, and our principal was like, we're going to have some of the teachers in the show. And we were like, well, that's dumb.
Okay.
And they're like, well, one of them is an actor. I'm like, it's still dumb. Like, it's a Catholic school. Like, a lot of money tuition goes to put these kids in the school. So I was like, I don't even get Miles. You should do it. You should do like a petition to make sure that doesn't happen. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this petition. So I do the petition. Like, nobody really wants to sign it because no one wants to, like, everyone's kind of like, doesn't want to get in trouble. I'm like, no, like think about it. Like, our parents, you know, everyone's paying good money to like be here. Like, why have a teacher on stage and should be a kid? It's a kid. It's a high school production of Fiddler on the Roof. And so I get the petition. I kind of rip up the petition, but I did it in front of the director. He was like one of the teachers. I find out like later he pulled me aside. He's like, yeah, they were railroading me on this and shit. Cause he was a newer teacher. We get called, like the cast gets called into an auditorium, and the principal the vice principal, who's like, he's the asshole principal, the one that like does all the reprimanding thing.
Right.
He's just ripping us apart. Like, we're not respecting authority and shit like that. And I was like, this is a little horseshit. And then I get called down to the principal's office later. The principal's like silver tongued, explaining to me how this is going to work. And I'm like, this isn't work. And so apparently a couple of teachers got the gist that we were not happy with it, and some backed out. And like, the vice principal was like, well, I'm going to be in the show now. I'm going to take one of the roles. I'm like, this is weird. Now you're doing this out of spite. Like, you're here. Sorry, man. I don't want to be rude. You have epileptic fits. You're not going to be good on stage lights in any shape or form. You're going to have a fit. He would collapse sometimes in the cafeteria under fluorescence. So it's like, stage lights and you are not gonna, you're not gonna fucking last 10 minutes. You won't last one song and dance. So after all that's said and done, they all back off. We the right kids get put into the right roles, and we're all happy in this show. Cut to next year, that principal's arrested for embezzlement of $250,000. And I think a couple of the vice principals are also on that too. So, you know, I'm not saying like I caught anything, because I think he was taking money out of like, other, he was taking money out of like mission trips and stuff, like in other trips.
Wow.
to pay for his like McMansion up in North Jersey. Yeah. So he went.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, like we were after he graduated. He was a principal when he was a new principal. We just got into freshman, and as soon as we like graduated, like the next fall, they're like, "Oh yeah, like the New Jersey State Police and the IRS went after him and shit."
Wow, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Oh man, that was fun. All right, doing plugs, Scotty. You don't have any plug, obviously, because you're with me over on the Liquid Talk Show, so you don't have to plug anything in the plug, correct?
Yeah, nothing, yeah.
Cool. Let's go to the other guys who do have other things to plug. I'll do the Liquid Talk for last. So, Sean, plugs, go.
Yeah, so like said in the open, I do, I got a show with my brother, Next Scene Podcast, where we just, we take on pop culture one scene at a time. That's at nextscenepod.com and Next Scene Pod on the social media. And I do some other podcast stuff. I got guest appearances, all that. If you can go to catandsean.org, cat like the animal cat and Sean sean.org, and that links to all my podcast stuff and my guest appearances like this one. And if you wonder, like Blake was talking about, you know, previous seasons, you want to go back to those episodes, it's all at catandsean.org.
Very nice. Dave, go.
Yeah,
so Dave, what do you got?
Well, I'm just saying is that, you know, Robin got Cobra Kai, Blake's getting this Disney Plus stuff. Sean, you got to speak with Tobolowsky, and we got a Groundhog commercial. I would just like some recognition of Mystery Men in some shape or form before I wrap up 5 minutes of Mystery, where I cover the damn film 5 minutes at a time. Like, occasionally, somebody on YouTube mentions how All-Star is not from Shrek, it's from Mystery Men. I go, I guess I have to take that. That's the only recognition I'm going to get, so I'll take it. I'll never see, like, a bowler or a Mr. Furious or a Shoveler or a Blue Raja like cameo in anything. So I guess I'll just take the fact that like I get to hold one over on the Shrek fans. Like, no, it's not your song. It's my song. Get out of here.
I'm just saying this now because I've never had an opportunity to hear this. Shrek was actually one of the themes, like a theme at my wedding. So like,
I mean, fine, you're happy, I guess. I'm not, but you're happy. Great. God bless. You know, happy marriage. And all that.
Throw that out there. I've been sitting on that one for a couple of years.
Fine. Congrats.
All right. As for me, obviously this show every single Friday. This show's coming to an end in a couple of weeks, so we'll just throw that out there. But you can hear the Biggest Sound Show every single Friday. We don't miss a week. Go and listen to that. We do sports and wrestling and other entertainment stuff every single Friday at 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time on all podcasting platforms. Next week, speaking of wrestling, I have two of my friends from the PW Torch who are movie buffs coming on the show for the first time. Tom Staub and Kelly Wells, two of my friends from over there coming over here to talk about this movie. When I threw out the concept, they're like, well, that sounds like fun. I didn't even know that was a thing. So
you maniacally laugh like, oh, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll be hearing from my friends for the first time in this universe next week.
It's going to
be a lot of fun. So thank you all, gentlemen. This was great. This was a lot of fun tonight. This is great.
So thank you for having us. Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yes, so, and for a little behind-the-scenes talk, this little group here with the last minute, literally last second decision to make all this group together. This is really a lot of fun. So, thank you all, gentlemen. And thank you all for listening. I'll see you next week as we're coming to the end of this crazy movie and this crazy franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So, quack. Thank you all for listening.
Quack. 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 Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack. They're not the Warriors. They're the Ducks. It's a thing now.
Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.